Welcome everyone. Hare Krishna. First of all, please repeat after me. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So devotees and friends, welcome to the third day of our seminar on lessons from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. I hope you've got your notebooks and pens, at least if you want to really get into it, because what we're doing here, for those who haven't been here the last couple of days, what we're doing here, it's more, we're trying to make an in-depth study of certain of the activities of Lord Chaitanya, the most recent incarnation of Krishna. So in-depth study of some of his pastimes and the different significances which are there, and lessons to see what we can learn to help us develop, progress spiritually, develop as devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the previous 2 days, each day we just focused on one particular pastime. Today we're definitely going to focus on more than one, because I am going to begin in just a moment by describing one very brief pastime. It may only take 5 minutes or so, something like that, but it's also very instructive, and it's very important. And then following that, well, we'll see what direction we go in, but probably something more extensive. So, right, this first pastime then is the pastime in which Govinda, who is the personal assistant, some might say servant, but personal assistant of Lord Chaitanya, how Govinda would not step over the body of Lord Chaitanya. So Govinda, just for a little background, Govinda is actually what we call a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya. Means they both have the same spiritual master, who was Ishvara Puri. We talked about him last night. Ishvara Puri, a leading disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So yes, Govinda was a close associate of the spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, as Lord Chaitanya was. But when Ishwarapuri was in the very late stages of his life, then he instructed Govinda. Well, actually, Govinda was indeed something like his personal assistant or servant, means cleaning up wherever the spiritual master is staying, cleaning it up, washing the clothes, seeing that prasadam, food, is provided, and then serving, generally serving the prasadam, making the arrangements with people who may want some, like a personal audience, personal meeting, in this case with Ishwarapuri, all these types of things, running errands and so on, buying necessities, like that. So he did that service for the spiritual master Ishwarapuri, and he did it very well. And therefore, right at the end, when Ishwarapuri was just shortly before he left this world, before he died, Ishwarapuri instructed him, when I depart, die, when I depart, you go to Chaitanya, to Lord Chaitanya. He didn't really call him Lord Chaitanya, but you go to him and you become his assistant. And if he questions, how can I accept that sort of service from an equal? Because they're God brothers, so spiritually they're considered basically to be equals. It's not like Govinda was the disciple of Lord Chaitanya. He was the disciple of Ishwarapuri, as we mentioned. Therefore, for Ishwarapuri to accept that sort of service from Govinda is fine, it's normal. But with your godbrothers who are your equals, normally it definitely wouldn't be done. Rather, someone who's quite junior would do it. So, therefore, Ishwarapuri told him that if he objects and, you know, wants to make some other arrangement with someone who's junior to him, then explain to him, this is my specific desire. I specifically want that you will become his assistant or servant, and therefore, because Ishwarapuri is the guru, he is the authority, therefore he must accept. And this is what happened. And Lord Chaitanya did accept. And therefore Govinda, even though they're kind of similar ages and, you know, like that, equals more or less, but Lord Chaitanya accepted his service, and Govinda was very busy in his service. Right, so one of the things Govinda would do every day was massage Lord Chaitanya, particularly after lunch. Lord Chaitanya would lie down and rest and sleep for just a short time. It might be half an hour. He would sleep after lunch every day. That was his practice, as it was the practice of Srila Prabhupada. So, but when he would lie down, he would lie on his side, And he would get Govinda. Well, it was just the program, the way things were done. Lord Chaitanya would lie on his side. Govinda would go around behind his back and massage his back. And then, until Lord Chaitanya actually fell asleep. And then he would go and have lunch himself. So there's a description there in Chaitanya Charitamrita how one of those days Lord Chaitanya had lunch as usual, and then after lunch he lay down, but he lay down on his side. He actually lay down outside, not within his little residence. He had just a very small place he was staying. Not within the residence, but he lay down just outside the door, so that the distance, and with his back to the door, and the distance between his back and the door was, well, there was practically no distance. The door was open inwards, and Lord Chaitanya was almost sort of leaning against the wall, so there was no space between his back and the wall. Just there was a space there because the door was open. Where the door was, there was a space. So Lord Chaitanya lay down. Govinda is sitting outside of him, sort of facing his front. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, "Start the massage." And Govinda hesitated because he had to massage the back. And in order to reach the back, he had to somehow get around, but there was no way around other than stepping over into the actual doorway. So he hesitated. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, "What are you waiting for? Come on, please. Start." So Govinda stepped over the body of Lord Chaitanya just into that little space of the doorway, and then massaged his back while crouching there in the doorway. And as usual, Lord Chaitanya, after a little while, fell asleep. And now Govinda should go and have lunch. But what to do? He would now have to step back over the body of Lord Chaitanya. And I don't know how familiar any or all of you are with the culture, the etiquettes of Vaishnav life, Vaishnav etiquette. But one of the numerous do's and do nots in terms of personal interactions is you don't step over the body of particularly a devotee, even of anybody really, but definitely particularly a devotee, you just don't step over them. Because the body of a devotee is a very sacred person. Even if the devotee is not very, very advanced, if they're just some junior, new person, but still they're devotees. And therefore there's that element of sanctity in their existence, including in their bodies. So therefore, what was it that I saw? Was it? No, not this morning. Maybe yesterday. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. forget exactly, but one devotee offered, what happened? One devotee, I think, offered flowers to Srila Prabhupada at Guru Puja and offered obeisances prostrated, kind of front ways, and right up against where Prabhupada, that area where Prabhupada was sitting. And one other devotee came to offer flowers, but stopped until that devotee moved. And then came further forward and offered the flowers. And I thought, good, that's nice. Otherwise, I've seen a similar situation, that Guru Puja is actually, it happens quite frequently, that someone is blocking the way. And normally they stop, but I have seen on occasion someone just step over, hurry ball, life must go on. Don't delay. What's the slogan? He who hesitates is lost. That's the British SAS. He who hesitates is lost. Yeah. So this is one of the etiquettes. And it's just good manners. It's kind of gross just to step over someone. So here we are then, back with Lord Chaitanya and Govinda. And Govinda is stuck, because there's no space between Lord Chaitanya's back and the wall, so he can't sort of, you know, sneak around. Either he's got to stay there, or he's got to step over. So, devotees, what do you think he did? He stayed for at least half an hour. Yeah, like we said, Lord Chaitanya would rest, sleep, usually for plus or minus half an hour. So Govinda was just sitting there, just chanting the holy names for half an hour. And Lord Chaitanya woke up. He woke up and then he's got his back to Govinda, but then he looked over and he thought, oh, Govinda, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you still there? And Govinda said, well, your body was blocking the way. That's all he said. He didn't offer any explanation. Just, your body was blocking the way. And Lord Chaitanya said to him that in order to do the massage, I remember you stepped over my body to get to my back. Why didn't you just step back over? And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, it's very nice, Govinda just looked down and didn't answer. But in his mind he thought, for your service, I'll do practically anything. Even if it's something, you know, if you order me, even if it's something which might be interpreted as being undesirable or improper according to the rules, but if you order me, I'll do it. But for myself, for my own comfort, you know, to get out, to take lunch. He hadn't had any lunch. He was sitting there for half an hour. Normally he would just go take lunch. But in his mind he thought, for my own comfort, I would not do such a thing. But he didn't say anything. And Lord Chaitanya just told him, all right, just go take lunch. Right, so that's our little pastime, our short pastime. And I think the lesson is, well, it's pretty much stated, really. Yeah. That, you know, particularly, even in a broad sense, when you're doing some service, if it's really important, if it's really important that you take some action, even though according to some finer, more delicate considerations of etiquette, it may not be first class, but if it's really important, then, and even particularly if you are actually told, no, do it, as he had been told when he first stepped forward over the body of Lord Chaitanya, then you may do it. You may not too. It depends. But if it's really urgent, really important, and sort of like something a bit on the mission critical side, then maybe you'll do it. But for yourself, no. One aspect of the point and principle is that if we are ordered to do something in service by some real authority, then we will not have to take any karmic reactions, like Arjuna was ordered by Krishna to kill, to fight and kill. And Arjuna did, sort of wholesale. But because he was doing it under the order of Lord Krishna, then there was no karmic reaction for him. Rather, the Lord took the reactions, and for the Lord, any amount of reactions, even the killing of zillions of people, it has absolutely no effect whatsoever. Literally zero. Yeah, but if we have to do it for ourselves, means we are now responsible and we have to take the reaction, well, watch out, because we are very little and we are easily susceptible to any karmic reactions. This is the idea here. And even just in everyday life, you know, sometimes there's a war. You know what it's like in this world now. There's so many wars, and it's just, you know, sure, it's totally crazy. But there, in those wars, there are soldiers. Some of them are professionals. They volunteered to join. They want to fight. Others, they just get dragged into it. Anyway, one way or another, there are soldiers, and they fight, and they kill. But because they're doing it under the instruction and authority of the government, none of them get arrested. Hey, you killed some people. You know, you're going to be locked up or even executed. But after the war, when you go back home, it's all finished now, and you're back to normal life. If you're walking down the street and you see someone you don't like, and you decide, hey, I think I'll kill them. And it's just one person, if you do that, you know, you're going to, if you're caught, if you're caught. It was you who told me, we have a very senior policeman here. What percentage of the criminals get caught, you told me once? Was it 5%? South Africa? 5 or less. So you might get away with it. Anyway, I'm not encouraging. Please don't do it. Please, definitely. But anyway, say someone does it, then they get arrested and locked up for years, or even executed. And they may protest, hey, what's the problem? I just killed hundreds of people, and you gave me a medal. And now I just killed one person and you're locking me up for the rest of my life? What's wrong with you? But you understand the principle. There's authorization, and they become, the authorizers become responsible. And then there's your own, you just authorize yourself, and you're responsible. And having said that, you know what Prabhupada points? Prabhupada, or maybe the Bhagavatam itself, says, just in case you haven't noticed, our local river has started flowing again. At least we don't have to worry about a water shortage. Just, you know, watch out your clothes don't get soaked. Or you can reposition yourselves. Right, so where were we? Oh yeah, sixth canto. If I remember correctly, it's an actual verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Perhaps it's a purport. But there it is stated that if someone is a head of state, like our dear Cyril, Uncle Cyril, he's probably going to win again on May the 8th. I think the most interesting thing will be to see by how much he wins, whether it's much less than before. But anyway, let's not get into it at all. But it says there that the head of state gets 1/6 of all the karma of all the citizens. 1/6. Here we're talking about 50 million people plus or minus, something like that. Good luck, Cyril. Good luck, whoever may become. I mean, he's probably going to become. Good luck. Because, boy, you know, you're going to really need it. So there we were. So, okay, you follow the point there. You follow the point. It's a fairly straightforward point. But it's a very nice point. A very nice point, Hare Krishna. And now, devotees and friends, seeing we've covered this, well, does anyone have a comment or question on this particular pastime or subject? Is it clear to everyone? Okay. So let us move on. What shall we move on to? That's a good question. You know what I think I'll move on, we'll move on to is something to do with what's called the Mahaprakash Leela. Nanacharya Prabhu, do you remember when I was in Joburg just 2 or 3 weeks ago? You know, I remember one evening in Purnendu Krishna Prabhu's place, we talked about Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy and all the different points made. Do you remember if one of the other evenings we talked about the Mahaprakash Leela and how Lord Chaitanya interacted with different devotees? You don't think so? You were there though, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's do it. Are you okay, Shreya? Can you swim? Just a word of warning, just watch out. There's a river, an active river. Okay, so Mahaprakash Leela. It's also called Shata Praharia Leela. Basically the idea is that Lord Chaitanya entered into a particular mood of great ecstasy for 21 hours. And during those 21 hours, Well, there was a whole assembly, all the devotees basically were there, which may have been hundreds. It was certainly enough devotees there to keep him busy for 21 hours. And what he did, he called each one individually and then explained to them, revealed to each one individually how they had participated in his pastimes previously when he had descended to this world in different forms. Here he is now, he's in his form as Lord Chaitanya. But the Lord appears in so many forms. Oh, so many forms. More than there are waves in the sea. We could ask someone to go out to the beach and do a count, or maybe take a photo and count from the photo. But anyway, that means an awful lot. Actually, it means too many to count, really. That's the idea. Just too many to count. So the Lord appears in these, this like multitudinous number of forms of different types. It's highly variegated. And when he appears in those different forms, certain devotees appear with him when he's in one particular form, and other devotees appear with him when he's in another particular form. And so you've got loads of devotees, loads of forms, and some are with this form, some that, and some with another, and some another, and so on. So this is what Lord Chaitanya did. He called each one individually and explained, you know, when I appeared in such and such form, you were there with me in another form, not as you are now, but in another form of yours compared to the form you're in right now. You get the idea? So that's what he did. He called the devotees. And, well, that was one thing he did. Another thing he did, he called some devotees and explained to them how in this lifetime of theirs, before he had appeared in this world, but they, you know, in other words, they were born some years or even a generation or 30, 40 years in some cases before he appeared. But even though he had not appeared yet in this world, when they got into some situation, you know, certain of the devotees got into certain kind of particularly very dramatic or dangerous situations, he came and intervened. From the spiritual world, he just zipped down, did something to help them, and then went back. So that was there, and also this appearing with him when he's in different forms. Okay, let's see. Let us see here. Well, here's an interesting one. It's not well known. Actually, most of this, the great majority, even perhaps all, but certainly the great majority, is from another literature. It's called Chaitanya Bhagavat. And actually, yeah, it's Chaitanya Bhagavat. So now, the first one who he called was a devotee named Srivas. Srivas Pandit, who happened to be the owner of the house, big house, where all this was going on. And in fact, where Lord Chaitanya every night with Kerman and all the other devotees would gather every night. And generally they would just have kirtan, just chanting and chanting from like sunset to sunrise. But now Lord Chaitanya is doing this. First thing he did actually, he went up to the altar. On the altar was a shalagram shila, or maybe a few shalagram shilas, sacred rocks, sitting on some little throne. So Lord Chaitanya, first thing he did was gently push aside the throne, and himself he sat on the altar, because he's showing, I am the Supreme Lord, and these shalagram shilas, they're forms of me, and if I want to move these other forms of me aside and me, I will sit on the altar, that's fine. So he did that, Lord Chaitanya. Then he called Shivas. And it's a little bit of a story. So listen. Shivas, some years before, because he's like a generation, plus or minus a generation, older. He's actually the age of Lord Chaitanya's parents. So, Shivas was a great devotee. So he's a great devotee. And particularly what he really liked to do, he liked to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's what he did for hours every day. And not far away from him, from his house, was the house of a famous scholar called Devananda Pandit. Famous scholar who had disciples and students who he would instruct. Shivas was just at home on his own. So sometimes Shivas would go to his place and just sit and listen to him, because he liked to hear the explanations given by devotees. So one day he was there, and actually there's no information, as I recall, about exactly what subject matter Devananda Pandit was discussing and elaborating on. But there was some very elevated subject matter from Srimad Bhagavatam, some very beautiful type of narration, and Shrivas, hearing this, he became overwhelmed. Like, how wonderful Krishna is! It's just amazing. He became overwhelmed, and he was, everyone sitting down, but he fell over. And he started crying in ecstasy and, you know, causing a little bit of a scene, you could say, in a certain sense, in that gathering. And the students of Devananda, well, first thing was, Devananda was not so much of a devotee. He was more just into it for the knowledge, just a scholar for the sake of scholarship. I mean, there's so many people like that in India who are studying different high-level devotional literatures, but just from a scholarly point of view. So when these students saw this, here is this devotee, he's on the ground and he's crying and there's some noises there and all that. They picked him up and took him out and just sort of dumped him outside. And Devananda Pandit, he saw this and he didn't stop them, didn't say anything, just let them take him. And Srivas came, now he's outside, he can't hear the recitation. He came back to external consciousness, outside. And he understood what must have happened. And he felt very disappointed. Actually, he felt very disappointed in himself. That, oh, they threw me out. I became a disturbance. Oh, that's very bad. Why did I do that? How could I have done that? I shouldn't have done that. Oh, it's an offense on my part. This sort of mood. So he went back home. And I was feeling really disappointed. And he saw his Srimad Bhagavatam sitting there. And he felt, no, I've offended Srimad Bhagavatam. He lost his inspiration to study the Bhagavatam, which otherwise was just, you know, that was what he did for hours every day. Yeah, so he thought he had offended the Bhagavatam. He tried to read, he couldn't because his mind was just agitated with these types of ideas. So Lord Chaitanya told him. Lord Chaitanya's repeating all this back to him. You remember this? And Srivas is like, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. And Lord Chaitanya said, I was watching you from Vaikuntha. And I saw you were so disappointed like this. So, Lord Chaitanya said, I descended from Vaikuntha. This is before the Lord appears. Sort of took birth, so to speak. I descended from Vaikuntha. And I entered your heart. I entered your heart. And suddenly you found your interest in Srimad Bhagavatam, suddenly it just reappeared, it sort of exploded in your heart again. And then you started to really blissfully study the Bhagavatam again. And you never looked back, you just came. Just continued on and you just became ecstatic. Any time you read it or even looked at it. Yeah, just like Srila Prabhupada said, you may have heard. Srila Prabhupada said, just when the book distribution program was starting in ISKCON, like 74, 75, that sort of time, Srila Prabhupada made the point. In fact, there's a video, maybe some of you have even seen it, of Srila Prabhupada giving a class somewhere in America. And Srila Prabhupada says, if they read just one sentence, their lives will be changed. If they read just one line, and Prabhupada said, if they read just one word, their lives will be changed. Srimad Bhagavatam is such. Its nature is such. So like that, Srivas again became totally transformed. And anyway, it's a bit of a long story because Lord Chaitanya then went to Devananda Pandit and gave him the sauce, the hot chili sauce. Shreya, do you like hot chili sauce? No, I do. And just gave him the sauce and Devananda realized, wow. What did I do or what did I not do by not stopping them? Okay. One other devotee, it isn't stated who, but it is stated Lord Chaitanya called this one devotee and told him that, do you remember Do you remember that time you had a fever and it seemed incurable and it seemed you were going to die and you needed a doctor, but there was no doctor, and you thought, well, that's it, back to Godhead, or anyway, next lifetime. Do you remember that? And then I said, yes, yes, I remember that. I remember that so vividly. And Lord Chaitanya said, but then suddenly, out of nowhere, a doctor just sort of appeared. Yeah, just sort of materialized on the spot. And you didn't know, where has this person come from? It apparently, people had been out trying to find a doctor. For some reason, they couldn't find a doctor anywhere, just anywhere around at all. But then suddenly this doctor just walked in out of nowhere. And Lord Chaitanya said, and he cured you immediately. And the Dharani said, yes, I remember. How did he cure me like that? Just like that. That was amazing. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that was me. That was me. I descended as a doctor from Vaikuntha and I saved you. And then I just returned back to Vaikuntha. There's one or two other cases I'm going to mention, but I think you get the, hopefully you get the idea. The principle, the lesson is, the Lord is very kind to his devotees. He's very, very kind. And he helps the devotees. Sometimes the Lord helps the devotee by apparently not helping the devotee. Some of you were there last night, I know, where I was not able to sort of do the program I was meant to do due to some physical health condition. And I must admit, I was praying to the Lord, please do something. But apparently he didn't. But that was what he did, showing us what are these material bodies? What on earth are these material bodies? Oh my Lord. And you just got to really watch out. Yeah. So like this, sometimes, have you heard the phrase, tough love? Have you heard that? Sometimes parents with their children, you know, maybe they shout at them a bit, or really, you know, hopefully they don't hit them. We do not approve of violence towards children or women or anyone ultimately, unless it's life or death. But sometimes the parent, for example, well, you know the Damodar Leela. Manishoda, Krishna was naughty. Krishna was very naughty. It was really, really so naughty. Is Shreya naughty sometimes? No, I knew it. She is just too good. I will be getting a report, of course. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So Krishna was really naughty. We won't go through all of that, but he was. And Mother Yashoda felt that for his own good, not that she just felt angry. Oh, you know, what's he doing? And all that sort of thing. And it just becomes just an outburst of anger. And there's not really an idea of somehow or other correcting the child and bringing the child to a better understanding and better behavior. So Mother Yashoda, though, even though Krishna had been very naughty, extremely, and she wanted, not just wanted, but she felt she had to discipline him and train him and teach him a lesson, but she didn't go wild or hit him or anything like that at all. What she did, well, you know what she did. She tied him up. So it's not violence as such, but he's naturally restricted for a little while. And there, hopefully, he starts to think, you know, here I am, I'm restricted, I can't do what I want, why? And hopefully he will not think, you know, oh, my mother, why did she do this, she shouldn't have done that. Hopefully he will think, this is because I was naughty, and therefore I must not be naughty, I must be good. Yeah. But this is an example of what you could call tough love. It's actually love, but it's tough. It's not just do anything, smash anything, waste anything, say anything, steal anything. And we're just, oh my dear little child, how nice you are. Okay, so, right, where are we? Where were we? Oh yeah, so yeah, the Lord is kind. The Lord is very kind. In fact, the Lord is extremely kind. In fact, he's so kind sometimes, or oftentimes, we cannot grasp it. We cannot really grasp it. Here's another one. This is quite a famous one, actually. In the gathering there of devotees was one elderly devotee named Gangadas. Gangadas Pandit. Gangadas meaning servant of the Ganges. And Gangadas was a teacher of children. And Lord Chaitanya, in fact, had studied under him for some years. So Lord Chaitanya, referring to a time, a good number of years before he took birth or appeared in this world, Lord Chaitanya reminded Gangadas, do you remember that night when the Muslims, soldiers, attacked your village? And they're just smashing and killing. And you saw this, and you just grabbed your family and you just ran. And Gangadas was like, yeah, right, oh, I remember that. So you ran and ran, and you came to the bank of the Ganges. And the soldiers were coming after you. And you looked around, where's a boat? Where's a boat, man? At least a boat. Where's something? And there was nothing. Nothing. All the way up and down the Ganges for hundreds of meters in either direction. And you thought, oh my God, I hope they kill me so I don't have to kill me first. So I don't have to see what they do to my family. And you were praying to the Lord. Please, Lord, please do something. Anything, but do something to save us. And suddenly, do you remember? Suddenly, a boat appeared literally out of nowhere. There were no boats anywhere. Suddenly there's a boat right in front of you. And you couldn't understand where it had come from, and there was a boatman in the boat. He just jumped in and said, "My dear boatman, please take us to the other side. I will give you anything. I will give you my life. I'll become your servant for the rest of your life. Just the rest of my life. Please just take me over." And the boatman took you over. And Ganga Das was saying, "Yes, yes, it was truly miraculous. I just couldn't understand it." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, that was me. I was watching, and I descended from Vaikuntha, and I came, and I manifested the boat, and I became the boatman, and I saved you." And I didn't mention, but normally after these descriptions, where, you know, Lord Chaitanya's just told, in this case, Ganga Das or Srivas, whoever it is, that it was me, I descended and I saved you. Normally what happens is the devotee faints. This is just normal. The devotee just faints because it's just, oh my God, how amazing. Then Lord Chaitanya called for one devotee who was absent. A devotee named Sridhar was absent. He was at home. Home was, well, actually where his house was, the place is still there, but it's a good, what would you say, it's a good couple of kilometers, something, from the house of Srivas where this was all happening. And Sridhar, he just lived in a hut. Actually, they called him Kolavecha Sridhar, because in Bengali, this is all happening in Bengal, in Bengali the word for banana is kola, whereas in Hindi it is kela. You know, there are great similarities, but there are quite a few differences between the languages, although they're both Sanskrit based. So he was Kola Vecha. Vecha meaning like merchant, salesman. He was the Sridhar who was dealing in bananas and banana leaves and all different parts of the banana plant. So he was not there. Lord Chaitanya sent some devotees to fetch Kolavecha Sridhar. So they arrived at his place. Kolavecha Sridhar, during the day he would sell bananas and banana products. Then he'd go to his little hut. It's just a little hut made of straw. And then he'd go home and just chant all night. And his chanting was, you know, you've heard Prabhupada say, we should chant the names of the Lord just like a child cries out for the mother. Does Shreya ever cry for you? Or she's still? Okay. We won't ask her for a demonstration. But I think you all know what it's like when children, particularly little children, they cry out for their mothers. Ooh, they can get into it. As we say in Chatsworth, one way. So he would just chant and just cry Krishna, crying out for Krishna to appear in this world and save me and save everyone and save the world. That's what he'd do all night. So as the devotees approached his hut, they heard this. They heard him crying out and just crying out. So they entered his little hut and he stopped, surprised, because normally people didn't visit him. And they said, you know how you've been crying for the Lord to appear? Well, he's appeared. And he's calling for you personally. So please come. And Kolavecha Shrita, when he heard this, what did he do? Tell me what he did. He collapsed. He just collapsed. Became totally immobilized in overwhelming ecstasy. And they had to carry him. This group of devotees had to carry him back to Srivas's house. Yeah, to meet Lord Chaitanya. So now they're there. And so Lord Chaitanya speaks to him. And it's actually a bit of a long story. It's a very nice story. We can just touch on it a little. Lord Chaitanya's mother, Sachi, would send Lord Chaitanya, as a child he's known as Nimai, would send Nimai every day to get bananas. Bananas and, you know, these other banana products, the leaves. The leaves are so good for eating from. You know, Prabhupada talked about how sometimes we use paper plates. And he would say that, you know, it's really not good. Better is steel, like stainless steel. Better than steel is silver. Better than silver is gold to use for a plate to eat from. And better than gold is banana palm leaf. How's that? Yeah. Yeah, better than gold is banana palm leaf. So like this, Lord Chaitanya would be sent by his mother every day. And Kolavecha, so, you know, like even today in India, all the merchants in any particular product, they're all together. They're all together. And then you change the product, and that, now all the merchants in that product, they're all together in another place. So all the banana merchants were all together. Lord Chaitanya would go to Sridhar, because Sridhar was incredibly honest. To the point, would you believe, he would only sell his products for the right price, the fair price. He wouldn't inflate the price, expecting some negotiation. He would sell only for the right price. And whatever income came from his sales, whatever it was, he would immediately, the same evening, donate one half for the worship of the Ganges, because they do pujas and different offerings to the sacred Ganges River. So whatever it was, whether it was 1 rupee or 100 rupees, he would just immediately, first thing, half gone. And whatever was left, which sometimes was just not enough to survive, he would just, that was it. He would just use that. Yeah. And of course, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord. He knows all these things. But Lord Chaitanya, just like Krishna was naughty and mischievous, Lord Chaitanya was also, as a child, naughty and mischievous. So he would go to him, to Sridhar, and start negotiating. The price would be, you know, X. The correct price, the fair price. He'd go to him, Lord Chaitanya Nimai would go to him and say, okay, what sort of deal are you going to offer me today? And Sridhar would say, well, this is the price. And Lord Chaitanya would say, oh, come on. Don't tell me that's the price. And he would make, he would offer like half. And Sridhar would say, no, look, this, it's the right price. Please accept it. And Lord Chaitanya would say things like, I know you, I've heard about you. You're making so much money, such a large amount. You can afford to give half for the worship of the Ganges. You're just making a bomb. And Sridhar would say, no, no, it's not like that at all. And after, you know, back and forth for a while, and Nimai just really on his case, Sridhar normally would say, listen, take what you like, just leave whatever money you like, and just go, all right. Sometimes he'd say, you know, if you don't like my prices, go to the next one. Try with him. But Nimai would say, no, no, no. You know, we have a regular business arrangement. In other words, he was sort of terrorizing them. For years, every single day. And even sometimes, Lord Chaitanya, sometimes he just grabbed something and run. But the next day he'd come back. And he wouldn't offer to pay. And Sridhar wouldn't ask him, are you going to pay for what you took? He just tolerated, because he was so attached to this amazing child, even though he didn't know. This is the Supreme Lord, my Lord, who I've dedicated my life to. So, yeah, okay, so Lord, now he's in front of Lord Chaitanya there in the gathering. And he looked at Lord Chaitanya and he saw him as the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya told him, you know, I have given you so much trouble, but you never got angry. You always tolerated. You were always so nice to me. I have to reciprocate now. I have to reciprocate. I want to give you something. And Sridhar said, no, my Lord, don't do that. Please don't even talk about it. Now I've got your association. That's more than enough. I don't want anything else. Lord Chaitanya said, no, no, no. I want to give you the position of Lord Brahma. Take it. Or Lord Shiva. Take it. And Sridhar said, no, my Lord, please, not something like that. I don't want it. And Lord Chaitanya said, all right. At least let me give you a heavenly planet to yourself. You can be the king of a heavenly planet. And now Sridhar's just crying, no, stop, my Lord, please don't. I don't want anything like that. I just want you. And Lord Chaitanya sort of coming down. He said, all right, I will give you all the 8 mystic perfections. You can have anything you want. Make yourself bigger, smaller, richer, anything. No, please, my Lord, stop this. Stop this. Stop talking like this. Eventually, Lord Chaitanya said, all right, listen. I will just give you Durban. Anyway, just one city. That's all. You don't want a planet. You don't want a country. At least take one city. Just a city. But Sridhar said, please, let me tell you what I want. All I want is to have the service, to be able to serve that young Brahmin boy who's been coming to me every day for all these years. Just let me have his service, and that's all. And then what did he do? He collapsed. That was the end of the discussion. Yes, well, okay, here's the last one. I mean, there's a number of others, actually. There's a number of others. We'll have to do it next year, next Ratha Yatra. But I want to tell you one more. It's a very, very significant one. Right at the end, after 21 hours, Lord Chaitanya has called everyone, every single devotee, in these different ways we mentioned, except one, Mukunda Dutt, who was one of the main, if not the main, singers, kirtan singers. When he sang, sometimes rocks would melt. Who's our best kirtan singer here? Who's? Yeah, Paramahansa? Is he? When he sang, did you ever see a rock melt? or wood just crack open? Not yet. Still working on it. This was Mukunda. He's like, you know, beyond angelic. But Lord Chaitanya had not called him. And Srivas, whose house it is, he's kind of organizing things. So Lord Chaitanya says, okay, that's it, finished. It's the next morning sometime. And Srivas said, my Lord, you know, I think you have forgotten one devotee. You have forgotten Mukunda. Such a nice devotee. He's just outside. Can you please call Mukunda? And Lord Chaitanya said, Mukunda! You want me to call Mukunda? I'm not going to call him. You know what this person does, this Mukunda? In his family, there are devotees, there are atheists, there are Shivites, there are worshippers of Durga, there are worshippers of Kali, etc., etc., etc. And when he is with those people, whichever ones they are, he just agrees with them. And when he's with us, he agrees with us. He's just an opportunist. Yeah. When he's with the Mayavadis, who think it's all one, they say, yes, it's all one. And he says, right, it's all one. Great. When he's with the Shivites, and they say, Shiva Stu Bhagavan Swayam, which means Shiva is supreme. Then he says, right, great, Om Namo Shivaya, and so on and so forth. So he's just like a diplomat. Whoever he's with, he tries to act like he's one of them. But actually, he's just his own man, trying to take advantage. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said, he is like a person who may approach you with a nice flower in one hand, but his other hand is behind his back. And in the other hand behind the back is a club, a weapon. And he gives you the flower. And you think, oh, how nice, thank you very much. And then out comes the club. Bang! He bashes you with the club. That's Mukunda. And you can tell Mukunda from me, I'll never see him again, ever. Mukunda was just outside and he heard this. And of course he became totally devastated. And Shivas went out and spoke to him. And again, it's a bit of a long story, but basically Mukunda said, please explain to the Lord, I live with these people. We live together. I don't agree with them. I just can't get into endless arguments with them. So I just agree with them just to keep peace, but I don't care about all their nonsense ideas. I'm a devotee. Please tell the Lord. So like I said, it's a bit of a long story and there is actually a bit more to it, but Shivas basically went back and explained that to Lord Chaitanya and begged him, please accept Mukunda. And Lord Chaitanya thought and said, all right, you tell him. He can see me in 10 million lifetimes. After 10 million lifetimes, he can see me. So Shivas went out and told Mukunda, 10 million lifetimes, then you can see the Lord. And Mukunda, when he heard that, he became ecstatic. And he was just dancing and jumping and rolling on the ground and just crying out, I will see my Lord, I will see. And Shivas went back in, and Lord Chaitanya asked him, what's the noise out there? Who's that person shouting and jumping? And Shivas said, well, it's Mukunda. He heard that you'll see him in 10 million lifetimes, and he's just so happy he'll see you in 10 million lifetimes, only 10 million lifetimes. And Lord Chaitanya said, oh, listen, just bring him in now. So Shivas and some devotees went out. They couldn't catch Mukunda. He was rolling and jumping and twirling and spinning and flying so wildly in ecstasy, they couldn't catch him. Eventually they caught him. And they brought him in. And Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya spoke with Mukunda. There it is. Lord Chaitanya spoke to Mukunda. And told him, actually, I wasn't offended. I take you to be like my child. And sometimes a child gets angry with the parent and says something, but the parent thinks, ah, it's just a child, doesn't matter. So Lord Chaitanya blessed him. Wherever I go in the future, you will come with me. Every time. Wherever. And so there's a blessing. I should have read it before we went through the story. But the blessing is, anyone who hears the story of Mukunda will sing with him. Means with Lord Chaitanya. Anyone who feels happiness by hearing this narration will certainly meet Lord Chaitanya face to face. So I hope you heard attentively. I think you did, generally. So, yeah. So what's the point there? What's the lesson? Well, it's kind of the same idea. Even if it seems the Lord is giving some tough love, don't panic. Don't lose it. Like him. He could have said, Mukunda could have said, 10 million, why 10 million lifetimes? I'm a devotee, come on. You can't treat your devotees like this. What sort of God are you? No. Don't worry. Sometimes you will be tested. It's not a question of if. But we have to keep it together. Keep our faith in the Lord. And keep cool and just keep engaged in His service. And in due course we'll see, mercy. Great mercy. Hare Krishna. So devotees, that's the end of our seminar for this year. Tune in next year. Because we have more. We have a lot more. Thank you very much for participating. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Premanande. Hari Bol.